The following broadcast is released under a Creative Commons license.
I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. I believe he lived and died, and that he rose again. I believe and trust in him. Ascended into heaven, Christ our living head, will one day come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe and trust in him. I will trust in my Redeemer, sing of his love that lasts forever, know his full and sure salvation. I will trust in him. Oh, the world falls around me, I rest and know that he has found me. Christ the rock is my foundation. I will trust in him, I will trust in him.
Welcome all to Pastor Yeshua. You've been listening to Creed by Richard Jensen from his album, Order of Service. By way of introduction, Pastor is an acrostic which stands for Preaching All Salvation Through One Redeemer. Our Redeemer, Yeshua, Jesus, is the Hebrew name for the Lord. It means Yahweh, the Lord, is salvation. Translated from Hebrew into the Greek language, the name Yeshua becomes Jesus. The English transliteration for Jesus is Jesus. This program deals with apologetics, questions on and about God, the Bible, and the Christian faith. I take questions and seek by Scripture to give answers and encouragement for everyone, including the tough-minded living in today's skeptical society. And now, let's join Pastor Yeshua. Welcome to Pastor Yeshua. In our last two episodes, I suggested the Lost in Space theme music for the adventures of He Gets Us. In this episode, in the spirit of fairness, I want to allow people to vote. Is the Lost in Space theme the best theme for He Gets Us? What do you think? To be fair, here are some other possibilities. How about the Benny Hill theme? How about Barnum and Bailey circus music? Lastly, how about the Three Stooges theme? You decide. Shoot me an email and let me know. In any case, we began in the last episode with the latest video material from He Gets Us, which is fit for compost. Yes, once again, here they are with their endless efforts to drag a false version of Jesus out of the closet of secular humanism and social activism. Once again, in this episode, we are forced to correct the errors and heresy of He Gets Us and to present a correct biblical understanding of who Jesus is and our relationship to Him.
Somebody has to do it.
The last and the latest video from He Gets Us is a 16-second video entitled, quote, Who is My Neighbor? Unquote. This video shows various still photographs of various people in various situations suggesting homelessness, panhandling, and people in everyday life that we have actually no idea who they are. Throughout the video, a question remains in the upper left-hand corner reading, quote, Who is my neighbor? Unquote. Well, anyway, midway through the video, another sentence appears mid-screen answering the first question in white letters reading, quote, the one you don't, unquote, and then the words, quote, notice, unquote, quote, value, unquote, and, quote, welcome, unquote, written in yellow letters. The written explanation included with the video is littered with statements and observations which would take several episodes to correct. For example, he gets us states, quote, we noticed that Jesus was inclined to welcome others. His trusted disciples were complete strangers when he met them. Yet, he welcomed them into his life and built his platform alongside them. He could have turned to family or others that he knew from his youth, but his prerogative was to find neighbors who were vastly different from him and one another to bring together, unquote.
Oh, if that's not just the sweetest thing I've ever heard, I think I'm going to cry.
Okay, well, first of all, Jesus was not strangers to his disciples. Jesus is God, and we know, according to Scripture, that as God, Jesus knew from all eternity exactly who his chosen disciples would be. The disciples may have had to learn about Jesus, but Jesus knew everything about each of his disciples. So Jesus did not pick strangers to demonstrate inclusiveness or champion the victim underclass for a social justice example. But here is the difference. The Jesus of the Bible is not bent and consumed with race, gender, and identity politics as is he gets us is. Jesus' message is not about diversity, inclusion, or tolerance just to fill a quota. Jesus is not bending and stretching in every direction like Gumby.
Gumby, are you up there, Gumby?
Unlike he gets us, Jesus' mission was not to create equality and equity among a fallen world beset by sin. He did not come with blinders on in order to ignore the separation that exists between God and man, so that he can then focus on making everyone feel good about themselves, creating better self-esteem, and fostering some universalistic, mutual, harmonious proclamation of I'm okay, you're okay, and we are all neighbors, no matter how sinful we may be or how rebellious we behave toward God and His Word. If we are going to rely on the Bible, which is the place where Jesus talks about neighbors, shouldn't we also rely on the Bible to tell us who qualifies as a neighbor? Was Herod considered a neighbor by John the Baptist and other Jews? Did Jesus consider the scribes and the Pharisees as his neighbor? How about Pontius Pilate? Was Saul of Tarsus initially a neighbor to the church? How about Ananias and Sapphira? You know, we could go on and on with various people who were rebuked, called heretics, cast out of the church, and turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. The point here is that qualification as a neighbor is always contingent on remaining open and submissive, or at least neutral to Christ and His church. The moment that one assumes an attitude of hostility, enmity, or heresy toward Christ and His church, they relinquish their biblical status as a neighbor.
This is not to say that we don't pray and desire that they will not repent and that God will soften their heart. It simply means that until God provides the necessary change to their hearts, we can do little, if anything. No, the gospel message that Jesus brought starts with we one and all are separated from God by our sin, and we one and all must repent of our sin and confess that Jesus is Messiah, Lord, God, and Savior. Our mission is to take this gospel to the entire world and to be prepared to preach, teach, an example to everyone who will receive us about this message. We go to the entire world, person by person, and consider them as our neighbor, as long as there is a sincere effort on our neighbor's part to keep the door open. However, Jesus himself commanded his disciples in Mark chapter 6, verse 11, saying, quote, "And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." So, again, there comes a time when discernment makes it clear that people's rejection of Christ and the gospel removes people, until further notice, from being a neighbor. The animosity, if any, the supposed hatred, the quote-unquote noticing or lack thereof, the quote-unquote valuing or lack thereof, and the quote-unquote welcome or lack thereof, is an issue which is controlled by those wishing to be or refusing to be a neighbor. The lack of neighborliness is not one which true and sincere followers of Christ desire or create. Instead, in every case, Jesus makes it clear that when there is a lack of neighborliness, when there is hate, it is not Jesus or his disciples or the church who are engaged in it. It is an unregenerate world.
Busted!
To put it as simply as possible, he gets us has become infected with the cult of social justice. They believe that the actual gospel is one of a man named Jesus who launched this cult, whose goal is to blur all demographics, distinctions, differences of race, gender, economic status, or any other boundaries. His mission and ours is to achieve complete equality, equity, inclusivity, tolerance. In the end, it is one big world without borders, with one central leader and government dedicated by any means, including violence, to enforcing the above.
Resistance is futile.
Unfortunately, at some point, the Jesus of the Bible gets handed a pink slip notice by He Gets Us and is replaced by a guy bearing the same name, but who will no longer expect a recognition of any sin, because that requires someone to be an authority other than man. Jesus can no longer offer repentance, because that requires people to admit that they're wrong. Jesus can no longer offer justification, because that would mean we're not okay in our own eyes. Jesus can no longer offer sanctification, because we don't want to say that you're not fine staying right where you are. Finally, Jesus can no longer offer glorification, because there is nothing more glorifying than when we all get together and reaffirm that we are all basically good people who deserve heaven. Now, up next, since presently he gets us is hard at work ignoring the Bible, an actual contextual study of it, I'm a bit short on videos at this point, so I've decided to bravely wander over to the quote-unquote About Us section of their website. Here, with some brief reading, it is clear that the people at He Gets Us has spent way too much time at the First Church of Our Lady of the Brain-Eating Virus. There is simply no way to explain how one goes from the clarity and sufficiency of Scripture once and for all delivered to the saints to the heretical social justice baloney offered there.
Where's the beef?
For example, right out the gate, He Gets Us asks, quote, "How did the story of Jesus, the world's greatest love story, get twisted into a tool to judge, harm, and divide? How do we remind people that the story of Jesus belongs to everyone? These questions are the beating heart of He Gets Us," unquote. Well, let's see. Arguably, the Bible, which just is coincidentally where we find the quote-unquote story, is God's revelation and record of His plan of redemption. Now, there is certainly love in that story. However, the idea of redemption begs the question, redemption from what? Yeah, it's these pesky little details that remind us that the reason for redemption is sin.
Details, details.
Now, since you at He Gets Us are asking a question, please pay attention. The quote-unquote story did not get quote-unquote twisted. The quote-unquote story is about God, who is both love and mercy, as well as holy and righteous. God, who is loving, warned mankind, telling us that in the day that we eat of the tree, we take ourselves out from God's covering grace, and we will die. Death, the grave, and hell are the result without any other solution. That is righteous judgment from God. That is harm due to our own choice and division between God and man caused by man. In the fullness of time, God became man in the person of Jesus. When Jesus was crucified for our sins, God judged all of those sins and poured out His wrath upon Christ in our place. God the Son, Jesus, was divided or separated from the Father, which is why He cried, quote, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" unquote. Now, the message of the gospel is that without Christ, God will judge us one and all. He will find us guilty. We will be separated from God, i.e. divided, and we will be cast into the lake of fire forever, for all eternity, which is the greatest harm. The good news is that if, indeed, we be in Christ and acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior, then God has already judged our sins, which were on Christ. In Christ, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 38, nothing can separate or divide us from God's love. and we are no longer at enmity, i.e. risk of harm, but we are instead at peace with God. Now, that is the vertical relationship between the sheep, the goats, and God. As far as the horizontal relationships go, let's let Jesus speak for himself. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, Jesus says, quote, "Don't imagine that I came to bring peace on the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword," unquote. Speaking of the end times, Jesus says in Mark chapter 13, verse 12 and 13, quote, "A brother will betray his brother to death. A father will betray his own child, and children will rebel against their parents and cause them to be killed. And everyone will hate you because you are my followers. But the one who endures to the end will be saved," unquote. Finally, in John chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus says, quote, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment," unquote. So, the takeaway from this is very simple. He gets us is deluded.
Well, which way did it go, George? Which way did it go?
They say, quote, "We hope to remind everyone, including ourselves, that Jesus' teachings are a warm embrace, not a cold shoulder," unquote. At this point, I wanted to give He Gets Us the benefit of the doubt. So, I exhaustively searched the Bible, cover to cover, and after countless hours of study, I was lucky enough to find a source which seems to support He Gets Us. Here is an audio version of the source.
Hey, is that a new doll?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Social justice seeker sensitive, see and say false Jesus.
Does he talk?
Oh yes, he says 11 different things when you pull his string. Wanna see?
Oh, well, yeah.
You're okay right where you are. Don't change.
Here's another.
I love your sin.
Cool. Can I try?
Sure. Here you go.
Has anyone seen the devil? I want to wash his feet. I would never do anything to make you feel less good about yourself. I get you. Don't worry about getting me. It's all good.
Social justice seeker, sensitive, see and say.
False.
Jesus is available in all languages and dialects, including Ebonics and authentic frontier gibberish. Social justice seeker, sensitive, see and say false. Jesus can be programmed to use the pronouns of your choice and comes in 237 genders and 52 racial and ethnic models. Order yours today, and we guarantee that if you don't become more inclusive, more tolerant, and more woke within 30 days, we will refund your money in full.
Ordering social justice seeker, sensitive see and say false Jesus in the strong male Caucasian model can result in white privilege, mansplaining, and will likely traumatize those who are acclimatized to liberal safe spaces. Neither the manufacturer nor the sponsors are responsible or liable for any damages caused by social justice seeker, sensitive see and say false Jesus, including, but not limited to, spiritual confusion, heresy, being lost, death, the grave, separation from the true Jesus, and spending eternity in the lake of fire.
Meanwhile, back on the planet reality, we find that in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 and 23, Jesus, who is God, declares, quote, "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, unquote. Well, that's not just a cold shoulder from Jesus. That's Jesus with an iron shoulder, wearing a football jersey, and giving an eternal guillotine clothesline tackle a la William Refrigerator Perry to the unregenerate. Scripture reveals that there will be the sheep, those who know and follow Christ. And there will also be the goats, i.e. those who reject, deny, and rebel against Christ. The sheep, who are Christ's elect, will, quote, receive a warm embrace, unquote, and inherit eternal life. And the goats, i.e. the unregenerate, who reject Christ, will receive a, quote, cold shoulder, unquote, and be cast into hell. Because of sin, the reality is that apart from those who truly submit to the Lordship of Christ, there will never be a time on earth when all of the social justice in the world creates the long-awaited kumbaya Coca-Cola moment. Nonetheless, continuing with the revelations from He Gets Us, the authors state that Jesus, quote, didn't let pro-this or anti-that opinions prohibit him from seeing the value in all people, unquote.
Must be the Jesus from another corner of the multiverse.
Well, let's do what He Gets Us could easily have done and open the Gospels and take a quick survey to see if this be true. Let's look at Luke chapter 14, verse 26, where Jesus states, quote, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple, unquote. Or John chapter 14, verse 6, quote, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, unquote. Or John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus says to the scribes and the Pharisees, quote, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it, unquote. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 27, Jesus said to the scribes and the Pharisees, quote, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness, unquote. Finally, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, and Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, and chapter 23, verse 33, Jesus called the scribes and the Pharisees, quote, a generation of vipers, unquote. And finally, in Luke chapter 3, verse 7, Jesus rebuked a multitude of the general public who insincerely came to be baptized, calling them, quote, a generation of vipers, unquote.
Ruh-roh.
So, contrary to the inclusive rose-tinted glasses worn by He Gets Us, Jesus used his discernment as God to examine the hearts of men and women. Instead of Jesus handing out participation trophies to everyone in order to build their self-esteem, Jesus turned away many because they were not his sheep to begin with. Jesus was, quote, anti that, unquote, about many things, including rebellion, pride, arrogance, selfishness, worldliness, sin, and more. And Jesus was, quote, pro this, unquote, including obedience, submission, humility, trust, faith, repentance, justification, sanctification, spiritual maturity, joy, and glorification, just to name a few. Next up, under an article entitled, quote, Jesus's Christmas wasn't picture perfect either, unquote. In this article, he gets us states, quote, don't be fooled by the pristine nativity scene on your grandmother's shelf. The real Christmas story has a lot more grit. Here's the short version. Mary is shockingly pregnant with Jesus before she's married, which immediately puts strain on her and Joseph's engagement. He's about to quietly divorce her, but then has a change of heart, unquote.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Excuse me? Quote, Mary is shockingly pregnant with Jesus before she is married, unquote? Where do you get this from? Yes, Mary was married. How do we know? Simple. Even he gets us has to admit in the above quotation that he, that is, Joseph, is, quote, about to quietly divorce her, but then has a change of heart, unquote. Well, I'm sorry, but in order to divorce someone, you first have to be married. That's just logic 101. Matthew and Luke both use the word espoused, unquote, when referring to the relationship between Mary and Joseph. However, in the first century Jewish culture, the groom would enter into a written binding contract with the bride wherein they were legally married, i.e. husband and wife. But they would live separate and would not engage in sexual relations for about a year or so. This period of waiting was referred to as being quote-unquote espoused, which is similar to today's engagement period. It was during this espousal period that Mary conceived Jesus via the Holy Spirit and became pregnant. This is why, when Joseph found out that in order to separate from Mary, he would have to divorce Mary since they were legally married. But not he gets us, no. He gets us is so consumed with trying to tie Jesus to being like any other carnal man that they are content to paint Jesus as the result of a tawdry fling between an unmarried teenager named Mary and several boyfriends, one of which was Joseph. He gets us as incapable of representing a high view of a holy God who has voluntarily become a man and who is still fully God and fully man. So far, after 13 podcast episodes and countless hours of study dedicated to reviewing He Gets Us, I cannot help but return to the question of what is at the heart of the confusion and the disconnect with those that He Gets Us and what the Bible presents as being Jesus. Clearly, the Bible is God's Word intended to reveal His Son, Jesus. Since the information is there, how is it possible that so many at He Gets Us wind up with a different Jesus? Since the Bible reveals that there is an adversary named Satan who wants to deceive everyone, isn't it possible that He Gets Us has fallen for a deception? At the heart of the title, He Gets Us, is the implicit idea that Jesus is just like us. Jesus is not an infinite, eternal, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipowerful God who clothed himself in humanity to redeem his elect. Instead, if in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 17, Jesus was asking, He gets us, who do they say Jesus is? He gets us would respond saying, you are an influencer, a community activist, a community agitator, a social justice warrior, a radical idealist. Maybe they would break out in singing a song, suggesting that Jesus is just a slob like one of us. Will they proclaim that his job is to redeem anyone, to deal with sin or rebellion against God? Is Jesus the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and the judge of the living and the dead? No. His mission, according to He Gets Us, is to correct racial and social inequity. His job is to affirm everyone's self-esteem and make sure that everybody is validated in whatever choices they make without any judgment or discernment.
Yes, that's right. You too can have your very own Play-Doh Jesus. Everyone loves it because they can do so much with him. Kids and grown-ups alike love to squish him and squash him and roll him. But most of all, folks like He Gets Us love Play-Doh Jesus because they can make anything they want.
The sad truth is that those at He Gets Us are incapable of boldly proclaiming, as did Peter, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Instead, they are content to limit Jesus to another finite man who is the latest leader of the civil rights movement and social justice. If you want to assume that Jesus is more than that, then according to He Gets Us, that's okay. You're free to do that. Just make sure that you don't push that idea that Jesus might be God and deserves worship, honor, and obedience to his word. And don't let Jesus' deity get in the way with prioritizing the important issues of community activism, secular humanism, and the here and now. The bottom line is that there is no better way to increase fans and followers of Jesus than to make Jesus a lover and admirer of those who are and wish to remain unregenerate. This way, you can do whatever you want, no matter how unbiblical and ungodly it is, and the Jesus of He Gets Us will go to any length to keep you as a friend and maintain your support. It is only when Jesus dares to think that he is God and that he is sovereign over all things that the world accuses Jesus and his followers of being hateful, judgmental, and intolerant. For the time being, this concludes this episode. Now, if you have any questions about God, the Bible, or the Christian faith, I encourage you to send me an email at pastor_yeshua@yahoo.com. That's pastor_yeshua@yahoo.com. Thank you for listening.
The world falls around.